Tobias Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Tobias Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch National Satellite Radio Program. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 18, 2016. Mission Watch Live, folks, we are warning the world as it happens. I want to thank our listener base that's worldwide in places like Australia, Canada, Israel, South Africa, Mexico, Ireland, Turkey, just to name a few, and of course in the good old USA, in such places as Fort Worth, Texas, New York and New York City, Detroit, Michigan, Denver, Colorado, and other places, of course in the United States, but we have to mention Wichita, Kansas, because that is our biggest listener base. Even though I don't hear a lot out of Wichita people, I do know that is our largest listener base, at least for out of the podcast that, you know, post after the live program. I have no idea how many are listening on my live program, nor where you're at. But I do know who picks up the podcast. Anyway, or rather where you're at, not who you. Anyway, enough with that. If you need help with anything after the program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can call me for that also. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. Or like this one person, if you send me an email, usually my email's on all the time, pops up with your phone number on it, and then I'll call you right when I get a chance. Also, you can put a prayer request in that email, and if you include your address in it, I'll take it to the mission church. We'll anoint it with oil and take it in our prayer circle, and we'll pray over it, and then I will physically mail it back to you at no charge or obligation to you, just so you can have it. Anyway, the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And while I'll give you my cell phone, that just reminded me I haven't even seen my cell phone today, but it is 316-619-4886, and that's for emergencies, please. You can always find updates for the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Our archives can also be found at prophecyhour.com, and it'll have a thing on the right-hand side that says, excuse me, no, it doesn't say, excuse me, it says branch.podomatic.com. That's where it leads you, but it says End Time Radio Archives or End Time Radio Programs. That's what it says. Wow. Anyway, well, let's get on with the prayer and bring our guest on, and maybe he can talk a little better than I'm doing right now. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray that what comes out on radio comes out by you and not by us. And I pray that you give our guest, the right words, but I also pray, Father, that you give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest is Watchman Richard Perry. You know, he's been on with us many times over the year, and you should check our radio archives and listen to those programs because they're really not outdated. He's the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to the End Times, of the Last Days, and the Watchman Guide series, which include the Watchman's Guide to the Time of the End, the Watchman's Guide to Revelation, to the Rapture, to the End Time Repentance, Guide to Daniel's Prophecy, and I think there's even some more, but go check it out. You could just Google his name, Richard H. Perry, and you'll find all you need to know. Last time he was on, we talked about his predictions for 2016, and tonight I think we're really going to get more on that. So let's now welcome Richard Perry. Are you there with me, Richard?
Hello, Pastor Dan. It's always good to be with you.
Yeah, amen. It's always good to have you on. You know, you're one of the few people that I have on, and I can relax. I don't have to worry about what you have to say, so to speak, brother. Back to you.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Oh, my. Anyway, so first off, I want to ask you, how are things going in your part of the world? Or is everything okay with you and your family and everything?
Yeah, I'm doing well. The weather's fine. It's they say it was sunny and 60 today. It's going to be 70. It's I'm here in Athens, Georgia. So yeah, it's really been nice. I'm going down to see my mom in Florida next week. So yeah, things are looking good here.
Florida,
doesn't look good in the world though. You know, the world's still a mess.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was going to say real quickly, isn't Florida being invaded with the mosquito, with the Zarka or whatever? Or do you know anything about that?
It hasn't been invaded, but they did declare a state of emergency, the governor, because he wants to be ahead of the curve, and they had about 6 cases diagnosed. But I wouldn't say they've been invaded yet, but...
Right. Is Zarka, does Zarka really anything to be that worried about or not?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, it looks like it has some, if they've identified it correctly, it looks like it has, some very, very serious, consequences. And it looks like it's spreading quite a bit, I mean, all I know for sure is what the Lord said. And he said the beginning of birth pains starts with, wars and revolutions, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. So I would say, like a lot of other things that go on today, these are things that should draw our attention to the return of the Lord.
Yeah, amen. And I kind of figured your response would be that, yuck, yuck, but that is the proper response. We should be seeing all kinds of things like that, other than, people always look to the geopolitical things, or huge things, but they seem to forget that we should be having these other problems, don't you think? Back to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and that's, pretty much most people that, have studied the Bible or have gotten a little bit of training on biblical prophecy, which there are very little of these days, they know about the Olivet Discourse and Christ, warning about. He said, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be concerned because the end is not yet. Well, that's been the past. But then he says, when you see these things, then you'll know. And he was talking about wars and revolutions, pestilences, famines, earthquakes, cyclones, tornadoes, earth-shaking things. And we've been seeing that increase. Plus, when he identified all those things as the beginning of birth pains, I believe he was pointing us to the seals of Revelation, because in the first seals of Revelation, we see all those things that he mentioned. So I've been saying this for years that, since 9/11 and the war on terror, that technically by biblical interpretation, we've been in the time of the end. And as you also know, that I believe, and that's one of my predictions for this year, is that the second seal of Revelation, which is the rider on the red horse, will be Iran, and they will take peace from the earth and cause men to kill each other. Well, people have kind of taken their eye off Iran lately because of the election and because Obama's got this incredibly, this incredible Iran nuclear deal, and then, people are kind of relaxed about that. But they need not be relaxed because the Iranian leadership is bent on their apocalyptic war. They have to have it. They plan on having it. They've been planning to have this for over 2 decades, and I think they're going to be ready this year because of the prophecies in Habakkuk. Habakkuk talks about a war. It talks about the leader of the Babylonians, doing something drastic, and then the U.S. creditors crashing the U.S. economy, and that's why my predictions for this year, because Obama seems to be the leader identified in Habakkuk as an arrogant, puffed up, greedy, selfish, never satisfied kind of leader. And he's going to do something that's going to cause U.S. creditors like Russia and China to wake up and make us tremble. Well, if they stop loaning us money or buying our U.S. treasuries, that would cause the U.S. dollar to crash. which would affect the stock market and employment. And that's
well,
what I think is going to happen while Obama's in office. I think it's going to happen while Obama's in office, which gives us this year.
Yeah, amen. I think that something dramatic is going to happen this year. And for the, I don't know exactly what, of course, it's not thus saith the Lord, but for that last thing that you mentioned, because this is Obama's last year, and he reminds me of the devil just having a short time. And so, you know, he's wanting to do anything he can. But really, you mentioned Russia and China. With China sending troops to the Middle East, I don't know if they've actually got there or not yet, but and
yeah,
also with Russia down there in cahoots with Iran. That's spooky.
About 2 weeks ago, maybe a little longer, it was reported that China was sending 500 of their special forces to Syria to support the Russian, Iranian, and Assad aggressive push against Aleppo, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. For the record, you know, it's so easy, you know, I know they're hooking up and they've got kind of an alliance there with Iran to help Syria and do whatever else their motivation is in the Middle East. But wouldn't it be so easy to accidentally start a war? Because that's a lot of people crowded into one area trying to find somebody that they can't even tell who is. Back to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the situation in Syria is getting worse every day. Matter of fact, it's in a kind of a crisis stage. I don't know if you heard, I think it was this morning, there was a bomb set off in the capital of Turkey. Erdogan was blaming the Kurds in northern Iraq, and they launched an attack. I don't know if they went into Iraq after the Kurds, but I know they were launching air attacks. And, you know, you've got Turkey threatening to go into both Syria and Iraq. You've got Saudi Arabia threatening to send forces into Syria. The Syria situation is a huge proxy war, and it's so confusing that there's been reports that, you know, that the U.S. is supporting two sides that are actually fighting against each other. In other words, Obama's policy is just absolutely a joke, and Putin's policy is primarily focused on Obama's rebels in Aleppo, and he's trying to wipe them out, because once they're gone, then all he has to go after is ISIS. And I think between his efforts in Syria and his efforts in Iraq, he'll probably pull it off. I don't really think ISIS is going to last much longer than, say, next year. But then again, I think there's going to be a big war started by Iran this year. And then I think there's going to be a U.S. economic crisis. And those are the two main things that I see happening this year. Is Iran will start a war this year. And then our U.S. creditors will end up crashing the U.S. dollar. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit because
right ahead.
You know, if your listeners are paying attention, you know, I know I talk about biblical prophecies a lot, but, you know, here's some practical advice. If U.S. creditors crash the U.S. dollar, like is described in Habakkuk, a lot of people recognize that gold is a safe haven investment. But it's very easy to buy gold from companies that will hold your gold for you and send you like a certificate, an ETF or something. You know, a lot of people buy gold, invest in gold as a safe haven, but they don't take delivery on the gold. That is extremely dangerous in this situation. And the reason I say that is because, you know, if you have paper that says you own gold, right now, this year, they've sold enough paper that's if you took all the paper gold sales against the actual gold in the world, they would have sold 500 ounces of gold for every 1 ounce of gold that exists. In other words, there's not enough gold or money to back your paper certificate if things go badly. In other words, if gold goes from right now, it's at about $1,200 an ounce, and if things go badly, it can go to $3,000 an ounce. All the ETF companies, all the paper gold, would become worthless because the companies couldn't support their customers at that level.
Wow. So, let me make a comment on this. First off, thank you, Richard. Let me comment on this.
Okay.
I've never heard anybody bring that up. You know, I myself personally have thought that, yeah, folks, gold is a good investment. Gold coins, all those things, great investment to help you along because, you know, there's going to be a long time between now and the return of your share. Having said that, with the paper thing, though, my problem is, you know, if the transportation system and everything even slightly breaks down, I was always thinking they may not be able to transport the gold to you, you know, and you could get it in an emergency, whereas if you had at least some of it, you could just, you know, get it. I never thought of, I didn't know what you just said, Richard. So are they doing this dubiously or intentionally? What's the story on that? Are these guys bad characters?
The business logic is simple. You know, it's like, okay, we trade in gold. We're a gold ETF company. Well, so what they do is they say they're trading on the market gold. You know, if you want to buy gold, you send them the actual money, and they send you the certificate. And say you buy $100,000 worth of ETFs on gold, and they say this is backed by gold. But if they were to go out and buy the $100,000 worth of physical gold and put it in a vault, you know, for you, they would lose money because the cost of shipping and the cost of keeping it in a vault would be, you know, extensive. So what they do is they figure out that, well, there's only like 5% of our customers that ever ask to take delivery on gold. So they keep enough gold in vaults on hand, and sometimes they're not really on hand, but, you know, so that if people wanted to take delivery, say, today of the gold they had, they would be able to get it. They'd be able to get it to them within a reasonable period of time. But if, say, gold goes from $1,200 an ounce now to $3,000 an ounce, then they need to buy the gold to be able to either pay their customers, you know, in cash or pay them in gold. And if it jumps that high, it will literally put all these ETF companies out of business because there's no way they've got that kind of money that they can, you know, it's that would jump that much because they don't have the gold. They only have maybe, you know, a certain percentage of the gold that they need to provide their customers when the customers ask for it. Well, and if you just look at the numbers, in other words, of paper, people that say I own, you know, $100,000 in gold, but I have this ETF gold. Well, of the gold that's in the whole world, there's 500 times more paper gold sold than physical gold. Now, I own physical gold. I don't own any paper gold because if I own paper gold, I would be pretty sure that I would lose all that money because there's no way when things go south that that would protect you. So I'm saying, if you're going to try to protect yourself, you know, against the dollar going down and the stock market going down, which they will do, then you want to buy things that you absolutely need, like food and water, you know, so you've got that kind of stuff. But then after that, you want to have gold or silver. In other words, things of intrinsic value that will last beyond the U.S. dollar and will be stronger than the U.S. stock market because the dollar won't be strong, stock market won't be strong, and paper gold will be worthless.
Okay. I completely missed this. Frank, our producer, just pointed out to me, he talks about a lot on his program. So, you know, he just made confirmation of what you said. My point is this. So what about the companies? I mean, this sounds like the dollar scam. You know what I mean? They give it all. I mean, are they bad guys or is this just accepted?
Well, you know,
I don't get it.
I can't make a moral judgment about what they're thinking and stuff. But you know, a businessman, if you were a businessman, you know, and you were doing an ETF, there's no way you could have 100% of the gold that all your customers had. First of all, if next month several of your customers sold a bunch of gold off, then you'd have to move that gold out of your vaults, move it back in. I mean, you'd go broke, you know, storing safely, in secure vaults and shipping gold. Gold's heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not heavy if you have a $1,200 because it's only 1 ounce. But if you start buying, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, which these people are moving every day, every hour, they're moving hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of gold, paper gold. If they move that much gold around, they'd go broke warehousing it and shipping it. You know, they'd have to charge you an enormous amount, but they don't. They just charge you a certain amount, and they only warehouse a certain small percentage of the gold that they've sold. So that, you know, the paper gold is 500 times the amount of physical gold that exists in the world. I mean, that number right there should tell you the magnitude of the problem.
Yeah.
So if gold doubled, you know, then all those companies would be in serious financial trouble. Most of them would be out of business, which means you'd lose your money.
Okay. Just a small comment on that. Wow. Actually, I don't know why I didn't think of it, understand that before. I'm glad that I do understand it. And that's a serious thing because I know a lot of people that, you know, have bought gold. And a question, because we're getting ready to come up on break, a question I want you to think about, Richard. You know, maybe seeing how we brought gold and stocking up into the conversation, maybe we should bring into the conversation, you know, some people talk about, well, I don't need to stock up anything because the Father's going to take care of me. And so we'll talk about that when we come back also. But I'm really shocked about this, Richard. I don't know why it didn't come to me before or I just didn't come across it. I'm really glad that you were on today to talk about this, but why don't you tell the people where they can find your books and they can find you, and we'll go take a break.
I like the way you said it earlier. If you know my name, Richard, H as in Harry, H, and Perry, P-E-R-R-Y, Richard H. Perry, just Google me or just put my name in Amazon.com if you want to just go right to all my books. You'll have no trouble finding Richard H. Perry in any Google search or any Amazon search or any search. I'm everywhere, so you can find my stuff.
Right, and you've made a lot of videos, too, haven't you?
Yeah, if you go to Richard H. Perry on YouTube videos, I've got about 530 videos. I've got, my this year's predictions for 2016. Which, you know, started off with the Iran war, and that's going to be the first thing, and then the financial crisis, and all the way, I've got about six things listed. The biggest thing, however, is all Bible churches wake up to the time of the end before this year's over. So that'll be pretty exciting.
We got to get out of here. We only got about, we got to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back.
back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch Live on the American Voice Radio Network. First, before I go into my message, make sure you folks tune in on March 3rd for Mission Watch, because Frank, that does the Frank Report, our producer, we're going to do a special program about the gold, because he's got all kinds of information on it. He does it regular. In fact, it should be in the radio archives. He did it today on his program and talked about what Richard was just talking about in greater depth. But anyway, yes, American Voice Radio. We've been on this station since it started, I think, in 2004. And I would have to look it up in our archives to be sure, but which we do have archives that date back that far. Before that, I did shortwave for a little while, right after 9/11 up until I came on American Voice Radio. Well, while the station broadcasts live on KUBAM satellite and the net, I've always archived the radio programs on the net, and this is way before the word podcast was used or barely used at all. And so we've been doing this for a very long time. We've been around, like I say, for a very long time. The point to the programs are to warn the people so they might be saved before Messiah's return, and maybe make it a little easier for you to survive during that time. That we're in, the time of the end. Our listeners' bases went up and down, meaning sometimes we have more people that listen in and sometimes less. But we've always had a huge base of diehards. By the way, thanks, guys, some out there that are my diehard listeners, for hearing the messages all the years and the ones of you that support us. Well, we're in a somewhat surge in new listeners, especially when we repost them over on YouTube. Support monthly, though, has been way down, and that means monetary support. You see, we rely on donations because we don't sell any products. And while I'm working on writing a book, the time for that is just hard to find between the mission church and my radio obligations. It's just I haven't found the time to do it, although I do have a book that I'm working on. Prayerfully, when that book comes out, it will bring money into the ministry. A mail-out newsletter used to bring in support, but 10 pages of what's going on in the world in print is so hard to compete against the whole worldwide net. So now we only do it 4 times a year, but we did it monthly for close to 20 years. We still have many of our same supporters, and we started with, but they have less money due to the crash in 2008, and some have retired. Remember, I've been doing this a long time. Some have retired. Some have even went to the rest. Now to my point. You know, I don't like to beg for money, but we do need your support. We're in a slump now from low donations that hit last November, that hits every November, around November, that is, and it lasts clear till March until many of our longtime supporters get their income tax, and then they make donations and bail us out of it. Right now, we are deep in that slump. My wife says the ministry account really was at zero unless something came in today. All of this month's mission church bills are not yet paid. And also, radio airtime that you folks are hearing right now is not yet paid for. So please pray about a donation today, tonight, or whenever you hear this. And, you know, you can't judge a ministry by the amount of money they have. If you did that, then all those, you should be listening, instead of us, be listening to all the televangelists and all those other people that are just giving you ice cream instead of giving you the truth. But anyway, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, remember, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations are what keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com, or call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to, or you can even drop me an email. And pray for us. Most assuredly, pray for us. Okay. Now then, we're now back with Richard Perry, and I'm pretty sure he's still there. You still there, Richard?
Still here, Dan.
Yeah, glad to have you on with me, buddy. You know, that really about knocked, as I told my producer, and he just happened to have did a show about it today, it about knocked me out of my chair, what you told me about the gold, told our listeners, is I just hadn't heard it yet. I had skipped over it, but that's serious business. These people better get it in their hands. But, Richard, what about the people that, you know, I have a lot of people that say, well, I don't need to do anything because the Father's going to take care of me. Yeah, I got to go through the tribulation, but the Father's going to take care of me, and so therefore I shouldn't. What do you say to that?
Well, I always say you listen to what the Lord tells you, and when he tells you you know, this prophecy, the prophecies that he gives us in Scripture are his instructions to us about the things that will happen. You know, in Hosea, he says, I don't do anything without revealing my plan to my servants, the prophets. The prophets tell us what's going to happen. Our responsibility is to read the prophets, understand what God is saying about the things that are going to happen, and take appropriate action. Be good stewards of our time and our resources and our money and our families and our friends. We can't just say, you know, Jesus is going to take care of us. Well, it's kind of, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners, and you've heard the same story, you know, the guy in the flood that was on the top of his house, you know, and he's praying to God, you know, to deliver him from the top of his house. Some guy comes up in a small boat, says, get in, let's go. And he goes, no, God's going to save me. And then, the water keeps rising, and then finally a helicopter comes, and he goes, no, God's going to save me. And he didn't take the helicopter, you know, and then he dies and he goes to heaven. He goes, why didn't, and God says, look, I sent you a boat. I sent you all these things and you didn't take them. You know, God has told us what's going to happen ahead of time. He's told us everything that's going to happen ahead of time. As a matter of fact, he actually says that in Mark 13:23. He said, be on your guard, which we have to be. You know, he says, I've told you everything ahead of time. Well, a lot of people don't even know that the prophet Habakkuk, three little chapters tucked into the Old Testament minor prophets, just three chapters. I mean, there isn't a commentary that I've ever seen that identifies Habakkuk correctly. The second chapter in Habakkuk says very clearly that this prophecy is about the appointed time. It speaks of the end. In other words, Habakkuk was writing, you know, thousands of years ago about the time of the end. But nobody identifies it as a prophecy about the time of the end. They all say, oh, no, this was about Habakkuk's time. But the Bible, the Word of God in Habakkuk says it's about the time of the end. And if you read the first chapter of Habakkuk, it describes something that the Babylonians do. It sounds an awful lot like what the United States did after 9/11. It sounds like the war we undertook, you know, in Iraq. You know, when we left the country and we went out, flew, you know, all around the world basically to defeat the we went to Afghanistan first, and then we went to Iraq. But we went out, you know, conquering, which is the first seal of Revelation. And the second seal hasn't opened. The second seal in Revelation 6 says the rider on the red horse will take peace from the earth. I happen to know, because I've been persuaded by God, that the second seal is an Iran war that is going to start while Obama is still in office, which means it's going to happen this year. And, you know, people have to understand that, yes, Christ has already provided for us by telling us this stuff ahead of time. But if we don't read what he says and we don't understand what he says, then, you know, he can say, I told you, you didn't listen. You know, I warned you about this stuff, but you wouldn't listen to me. I mean, when the disciples asked him about the time of the end and his return, the very first thing out of his mouth was, be careful, you're not deceived. Watch out, you're not that you don't be deceived. And then he said, many will come and deceive many. Now, keep in mind, he's talking to his people. He's talking to the religious people. In other words, the people that are in churches and stuff. I mean, you're not getting things about the time of the end from CNN and Fox News. They get their things about the time of the end from people that are talking about the time of the end, like John Hagee and Jonathan Kahn and Perry Stone and all kinds of people that talk about those things. But God is very clear. He says, don't trust man. He said, trust me. you know, put your confidence, put your security with me. He says, you know, if we follow people, what they say about, you know, blood moons and Shemitahs and, you know, who knows what, satellites and asteroids and stuff and Y2K and all this kind of stuff, we need to understand what the Bible says because Christ has told us everything ahead of time. Now, I just happen to read the Bible like that, and I've seen everything ahead of time. I know what's going to happen next. Now, there's a lot of things I don't know about how this Iran war is going to start this year, but I know there's going to be an Iran war this year. And when that happens, I know from Habakkuk that U.S. predators will wake up and make the U.S. tremble. And that isn't even hard to figure out. U.S. creditors stop loaning us money. Our dollar gets in real serious trouble, which affects the stock market, which affects employment, which is going to look like a great depression, not a recession, a depression. And that, I think, in a nutshell, is what's going to wake up all the Bible churches to realize that the time of the end has come. Oh, and by the way, they're going to realize that they're in tribulation, and they are still here. In other words, the preacher of rapture turned out to be false.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
That's the short version.
That's the short version. Yeah, well, I pray. So, and just for the record, you know, the economy worldwide, it seems like it's just teetering on the brink. So
it's something like
a war with Iran, you know, wow.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the scenario that's posted. As a matter of fact, the headlines today out of Zero Hedge, I don't know, you should read Zero Hedge because they've got some pretty good financial analysts, but the headlines today from Zero Hedge is that the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse are here. You know, and
really?
I played off on that. I said, you know, the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse are here as the real apocalypse is approaching because but the economic apocalypse is described in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 7. Read it carefully. Your translation might say debtors. It should say your creditors will wake up and make you tremble. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 7. But you read the whole second chapter. Read the first and second chapters of Habakkuk and I think if you're looking at world history, you know, since 9/11, you can go like, wow, this reads like today. I think there's a reason for that because God said, this prophecy awaits the appointed time. It speaks of the end. It will not prove false. Wait for it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will surely come. Now, I'm telling you, it's here. It's going to happen this year, 2016.
Well, I do see it, you know, I do keep track of, you know, the financial things. It's hard not to if you pay attention to the news. And it is teetering on the brink. It just needs something to kind of, you know, drop that feather on the other end and it falls over the cliff, you know.
And that is a good point because, you know, all the analysts say the same thing. They go, this is certainly going to happen. It's unavoidable. They just don't know what's going to cause it. Well, I do because God has already convinced me what's going to happen. It's going to be the U.S. creditors are going to be mad at us for the things that we do when this war starts, and they're going to crash the dollar, and it's going to start there. In other words, it's not going to be the stock market, you know, teeters around. It's very volatile right now because the world economy is very fragile, very volatile, so it's going to respond. But it's not going over the cliff until the Iran war starts. Iran war starts, if you haven't gotten your gold or, you know, your stuff stocked up, you know, because, and I don't say stock up because you won't be able to get things. Things will still be available. The question after this situation is, can you afford them? You'll be able to buy anything, you know, food that you need and stuff like that. Eventually it'll become in short supply because a lot of people are not going to have the money. So, you know, yeah. I mean, people will not have money. They're going to lose money in their savings accounts. They're going to lose money in the stock market. You know, they're going to lose their job, and they're not going to have money. And the government is not going to be able to just print more money, because when they print more money and they don't get anybody to loan them money, they just create hyperinflation. They just inflation gets worse. So something very serious is going to happen, and the best thing you can have is, you know, some provisions around to last you for at least for a few weeks, you know, just until things sky to the dust settles. But then you're going to need silver or gold or something, because your dollars aren't going to be worth anything. Your paper gold ETF certificates won't be worth anything, and the stock market won't be worth much.
Yeah,
so
okay.
That's the thing I'm warning you about right now. That's, you know, aside from, you know, that's the practical thing you can do besides repenting of your religious behavior and your bad actions, and start doing what the God of the Bible says. Not what people, not what I tell you the God of the Bible says, but what he tells you by you reading your Bible.
Right. Amen. I got a couple of comments. First, I want to say, and I'm going to address the people, because Richard already knows this. Folks, and I have said this before, you know, when things get bad, it's going to kind of be like this. You know, the potter may, but you say, well, I don't need to stock anything up. And in certain parts of the world, you know, I don't know if it's expedient to stock up because of the types of wars you're going to have. It's all about the personal relationship with Yeshua, whether you should. Having said that, the way I look at it is, you know what? He may provide for you, but if he provides for you, that means he's going to be providing for you by somebody else. So what is it going to be, folks? Are you going to be one of the ones that are feeding people, or are you one of the ones that are going to be being fed? If you're in America for sure, but I've got worldwide listeners, if you have food and you can feed the hungry during this period of time, that's a great evangelistic opportunity to bring them to Yeshua. I mean, but you have to pray about it. You have to know whether or not what you're doing is of them. If you just try to stock things for just your own personal benefit and try and turn your neighbor away from your door, that's not being right. If you're going to feed, you have to be willing to feed others. You do your part, and then I believe that many, many miracles are going to happen to this time, that the Father, I mean, there will be manifestations of food coming out of nowhere, but you've got to do your part first, because as Richard said, he did warn you, and these things are about. If you can't do it, that's another thing entirely. Well, I'm talking to people that have the opportunity to do this and to be able to take care of themselves instead of spending on entertainment and other things, and or also in helping out ministries that will do that. And then, Richard, to you, you know, didn't we see, and I know we have, but China has made provisions. In fact, their dollar or their yen, whatever, is accepted now as a reserve currency, is it not? And Russia has made an alliance with China, too, so they can survive without the U.S. oil dollar. Back to you.
Actually, China and Russia are doing that. Iran is doing that now that the sanctions are off. They're not taking U.S. dollars in payment for their oil. They're requiring people to buy their oil using the euro. Russia and China are already doing that. In other words, as soon as the dollar collapses, if people aren't loaning us money to support the dollar, then people won't use the dollar, and the dollar will become, you know, very inflated. In other words, it'll cost you $5 to buy what you used to be able to buy with $1. But that's true, and I really, really like your point about, look, you know, one of the biggest problems when this crisis hits is going to be that, you know, maybe we've taken care of ourselves, but, you know, we need to be, you know, thinking about other people as well, because, I mean, most people are not going to be prepared for this. There's no way they can be prepared for this. I mean, our whole society, you know, except for the 1 percenters or the 1.5 percenters, you know, basically are operating hand to mouth, you know, very little savings, a fair amount of debt, and really are going to have a hard time helping themselves out. And if we don't work together, we won't make it. The government won't be able to help us. You know, I mean, they'll probably do what they can, but they're going to have limited resources. Our debt is almost, well, it is $19 trillion, which for just taxpayers is about $160,000 per taxpayer. And I'm going like, I am sorry, I don't have that kind of money.
Right.
You know, so
let me add something to this.
Because Christ has already warned us about it.
Let me add something to this. You know, you mentioned the government, and folks, this is you know, and yeah, we have been talking about this for years, but, you know, let's go like this, Father. I mean, we got to realize that the way that we are supposed to be helping people is the church. That's what my point is. It's actually the job of the church for charity. Read your Bible. Who took care of the churches in the other cities? Paul talked about sending shipments to other cities. He talked about giving all to the poor. It was the church's job. It used to be the church's job until the government manifested 501(c)s and gave up that tax thing, and then after the tax thing, then they also created welfare. And so, for some reason, all the large churches said, well, we don't have to spend our money on the poor anymore. We can spend our money on building new buildings. We can have huge buildings. We can go on overseas missions and do so much. But they stopped being the charity that they are supposed to be. That's who is supposed to help you. It's not really the government. Guess what? I'm not mad at the government for not helping the poor, because it's not the government's job to help the poor. It's the body of Messiah's job to help the poor. So that's where I'm at with that. And anyway, back to you, Richard. We got about 2 minutes before we got to go.
Well, I think your comment earlier about, you know, well, I hear the same thing, you know, that the Lord will provide. Well, he has, in a way, because he's told us about these things ahead of time. And if you've been forewarned, you've been prepared, you can be prepared, but it still requires, you know, you to step out in faith, to trust the Lord, and to prepare for the things that you see that he's warning us about. I'm telling you about the things that he's warned me about, you know, and I warn people whether they listen or not, because that's what he told me to do. He said, you tell them whether they listen or not. And but people need to see the time that we're in. We are already in the time of the end, and that's less than a lifespan, less than a generation. In other words, there are years to go yet, but there's a lot of trouble because there's war after war after war, and crisis and famines, pestilences, earthquakes. You know, God's going to do more than enough to wake everybody up. The question is, are people going to wake up to God, or are they going to wake up and try to rely on something else, you know?
Yeah.
And
amen.
Let me just say one other thing about this gold. I know that's a touchy subject. The Bible says, you know, don't trust in your gold or silver. That's true for salvation. But if you see an economic crisis coming, you know, it's just the same thing as Joseph preparing for the famine. You're seeing a famine coming, and you want to be ready for it. Well, it'll take more than canned goods, so you might as well get some gold or silver when you see that the economy is going to collapse. This famine is going to be an economic famine.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you, Richard, and it also goes back to that thing. If they get a personal relationship, then the people that are supposed to stock up, you will be told, you know? And anyway, well, thanks for being on with me, Richard. I really appreciate you being on, especially on short notice. And we'll talk again, brother. Tell them one more time how they can find you. Richard what, Perry?
Richard H. Perry. Richard, like as in Harry. My real middle name is Hugo, but Richard H. Perry. Just Google it, search it. You can find me easy enough, whatever you want.
Okay, Hugo. We'll talk again. Thanks for being on again, Richard.
Okay,
Richard, great
Dan,
information.
Always a pleasure.
All right, be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, you know, I really, very, it's a mixed cup of tea, you know, out there. what happens during the tribulation can only be one person's guess. But I can tell you this, there's going to be people with need. If you stock up, try to stock up for your neighbors too. And I know that very morsel of soup or bread, even though you might have been telling them for years that these things were going to happen, they're going to turn around and look and they're going to say, remember him? He told us these things were going to happen. Nothing's happened to him. He seems all right. Let's go see what he has or what he can tell us. Then these people are going to come to you. So many people that I know that are alone in cities and places where nobody listens to them about what's coming, and they feel so isolated, but they have the truth. That's because the Father has prepared them for this time that's coming, which I believe will reap a lot of salvation, but it's going to be very tedious. I do believe you need to pray about stocking up, and we don't know how long these things are going to stretch on before they super get bad, and it is our job to take care of our families and our neighbors. Anyway, you must remember there is only one God. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. Then love your neighbor as yourself. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.